The rich young man gives us much insight regarding the way to heaven. He asks the question that probes each and every one of us. How do I get to heaven? How do I inherit eternal life? And notice that Jesus reminds us of the transcendental properties, good, true, and beautiful. And God alone is utter goodness. When we do something good, we participate in his goodness, but we're not good as such. Years ago, when I was parish priest at Lockhart, I remember distinctly going into the news agency to get the paper on a Saturday morning, and I was there paying for it. Mr. Kennedy was the owner, and there's a few people in the shop, and I remember there's a boy in front of me who just picked up something, and someone said to him, "How are you going today, boy or mate?" And he said, "Oh, I'm going good, thanks." And from the back of the shop came this voice, "You're not good, boy, you're going well. The Bible says God alone is good." And that was the visiting Anglican minister. It reminds us of a very important truth, not just a grammatical truth. When someone says, "How are you going?" the answer is, "I'm going well." That's proper English. But it's also a biblical truth that no one really is good through and through. Because, well, we're not. It's just the way we are. We're slightly bent, inherently bent, until we arrive there, and then we reflect God's goodness, and then we can say, "Yes, I am good, because he is within me." Meanwhile, we try to be good, and with God's grace, we shall, please God, arrive. But the gospel reminds us of some key factors. The first is that when this person, the rich young man, wants the answer to the question, "How do I get to heaven?" Jesus reminds him the commandments and lists most of the commandments. Now, the commandments are important for our salvation, but don't make the mistake of thinking it's just the commandments. Yes, we need rules. You can't drive on the road without rules. You can't play any game of sport without rules. You can't even bake or make something without basic ingredients and rules. Rules come with every facet of life. And thank goodness they do, because they create structure, order, safety, security, and so forth. You can't overdo the rules, but you need a certain basic quota of rules to get things done. I think at the moment our government has gone to the extreme of over-regulating our lifestyle. Leaving that aside, the rules are part and parcel of salvation. If you want to enter life, eternal life, you must keep God's rules, not for God's sake, but for our sake. God's not a policeman wanting to catch us breaking the rules. Now, the rules are here so that we shall arrive, so that we can practice the virtues, grow in holiness. They're for us, not for him. And so the rules have a part to play, but they're not everything. Take the example of someone playing rugby or soccer or football or basketball, any sport. They keep the rules, but it doesn't mean they're going to win the game or that they play the game well. You might keep every rule in the sport, but you might be quite hopeless in kicking the ball or winning the game. So there's something extra needed apart from keeping the rules. And that's where our Lord challenges the rich young man. When he responds saying, "Yeah, I've kept all the rules, I'm in the game of life, I'm doing well," Jesus says, "Well, not really. I can't see a lot of virtue in you." And then he looks at him eye to eye. And that brings up the second reading, that classic from Hebrews with regards the double-edged sword, that God can probe everywhere, right through our sinews, into our very secret emotions. God sees and knows everything. And this rich young man is called a rich young man because he had prosperity, wealth, he had money galore. And the problem was the money was an obstacle to grace. So Jesus challenges him, "Yeah, you've kept the rules, but you're not holy yet. Goodness doesn't permeate throughout because you're very greedy. Give it up. sell your property, squander a bit here and there, give up your stocks and your bonds and follow me. And the tragedy of this story is that we're not told he does. He goes away sad, leaves the presence of God because his wealth is more important than his eternal life. And we're not told at any stage that he comes back. So we don't know. And then, of course, that brings up the issue with the apostles. Well, how can we all get the saved? You know, he seems like a decent bloke. He's kept all the rules. You've missed the point. There is a distinction between salvation and perfection. Our salvation, we might keep the commandments, we're in the game of life, and we do succeed at death to die and sanctifying grace. That doesn't mean we go straight to heaven, because we might have issues in our life that we haven't sorted in this life. We might be too attached to certain things. We might be too proud or arrogant or pushy or jealous or selfish. And that's going to have to be sorted before we enter into his presence. Because only those who are perfect can partake of eternal life with God, where goodness permeates every aspect of our being. So if there's some vice or issue in our life, although we've kept the commandments and we've saved, that will have to be purged or purified from us in the next life. And that's what Christ is referring to. For many, he said, it isn't, but not for God, because everything is possible for God. God can sort all things. So we need his healing presence in our life. We need his grace to enter into our very marrows and cast forth those vices or attachments and replace them with the virtues, the big seven, that can make us saints here and perfect there. So we pray as we go through another 2 weeks of turmoil and tribulation, with the churches being locked by decree of Bishop Mark Edwards, that we don't lose heart, that we pray well at home. I put on the website his letter for explaining his rationale for why he's locking the churches for 2 weeks. There's also a copy at the porch as he's going. Keep the rosary going, trust in God. He sees all our efforts, and maybe he's asking us to be purified, asking us to commit to his will with heroic obedience. So let's not lose heart, but trust, hope, and pray in God's grace, for he can do the impossible.